Mount. And this morning we're going to look at how Jesus instructs us to approach our Heavenly Father. And we're going to do that by looking at Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11 today. And so we're just going to get right into it. Tony, would you read those verses for us?
Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?
So this morning, I want to think through, what does it mean for us to approach our Father in heaven? To really come and talk with God. Because there's a lot of feelings and emotions we might have. You know, oftentimes we think God's far away and he's distant and, you know, we shouldn't talk to him and, you know, he's reverent and so we don't bother. And then other times we're very flippant at how we approach God, right? And so this passage, Jesus really comes at us and says, this is how I want you to approach me. Now, earlier in this sermon, we learned what we are to talk about, right? The Lord's Prayer. Remember that? How are we to pray? And Jesus at that point tells us what we're to pray about. This passage goes and tells us how we are to do it. But I want to begin by looking at what Jesus is not saying. Because too often people look at this passage without considering the whole sermon. See, Jesus' instruction here is not to be lifted out and separated from the Sermon on the Mount. And too often people believe that if they simply ask, seek, and knock with persistence, that they're going to get it. And this has led to a very dangerous and disappointing movement called the Name It and Claim It movement, where people will say, I'm going to claim this. This is mine. I'm going to pray God's going to give it to me. And they just assume that it'll happen. And it leaves people very disillusioned. I had a student when I was a youth pastor whose grandmother got sick. She was like in her late 80s, early 90s, and she just got sick and she just started asking everybody to plead and pray and ask God to heal her. And so we were asking, we were seeking, and we were knocking all over the place asking God to do a great work, and she passed away. And this student was enormously disillusioned and began to fall away from following the Lord. See, we need to look at this passage in light of the Sermon on the Mount. See, the Sermon on the Mount talks about our lifestyle and what God expects from those who are part of his family and kingdom. In fact, we just got done talking about how we are to love and care and judge and assess folks, how we're to reach and care for others. See, the characters and standards in this passage, in this sermon, are unattainable without God's grace. We read the Sermon on the Mount, and we should be humbled. We should be moved because we look at what God is asking us to do and say, I can't do that on my own. God must do that in me for it to be a reality. We need God's intervention. And this passage isn't simply a free pass to satisfy your wants and desires, although God wants to know them. Instead, the passage tells us how to pray for the character of a kingdom mindset. Instead, it instructs us how to pray through the Lord's Prayer. Again, the Lord's Prayer tells us what to pray, and Jesus now follows that up on how we are to do it. Jesus is teaching us how to pray for our spiritual lives. So how do we do that? Through perseverance. You and I are to pray with perseverance. Tony, would you read verses 7 and 8 for us again?
Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. He who seeks, finds. and to him who knocks, the door will be opened.
So Jesus is addressing our attitude in prayer. And I got to be honest with you. I would have never thought this is the kind of attitude that God wants us to have when we approach him. I had never thought about it. I would never have imagined that this is what he wants. But he wants us to ask. And that's implying for a need. It's an attitude of humility, like a boss or a superior. Would you? It's to ask. And then he goes a step further. He says, seek, which involves asking, but also requires action. The idea isn't merely expressing your need, but looking around and involves effort. And then there's knocking. There's knocking, which includes asking and seeking and pounding at the door. Persevering. Like someone who is not going to give up. Do you ever have some of those people in your life? That's what Jesus is saying we're to do. It's almost obnoxious. It's exhausting, that's the kind of expression Jesus is saying here. He's expressing these terms in what they're called, the language would be present imperatives. Well, what does that mean? It means he's not only saying ask, he's saying ask and keep on asking, seek and keep on seeking, knock and keep on knocking. Don't give up. Go after it. These verses are intense, and the Lord is intentional in telling us them in this way. In fact, in Luke, Jesus says the exact same phrases as this passage, but before he does it, he gives a parable. Tony, would you read that parable for us in Luke?
Then he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. Then the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs.
Do you get that? Because he is such a pain in the neck, he'll get up and give him what he needs. That's what he's saying. That you and I are to be just like a bull in the china shop pounding on that door. Lord, work in our lives, change our hearts, move us. Lord, we want you. It's kind of like this. I remember when I went to Disney World. Ever embarrass your kids? Ever embarrass your kids? Your kids just like are like, ah, oh, dad, ah, oh, dad. So I have adult kids, and so we're in Disney World, and we're in a hotel room, and down at the bottom of the elevator is the concierge, and the concierge has something that was very, very important to me: fast pass tickets. Now, if you don't know anything about Disney World, you know that Fast Pass tickets are these helpful little tickets that get you to the front of the line. And I found out that the concierge has Fast Pass tickets. And so when I found that out, every time we would go into the room, I would see the concierge simply just relaxing, enjoying his day, making sure someone had it, and I'd pull over a chair. Hi, I'm Bob. And my kids would go, oh, my gosh, here he goes again. And they'd hop in the elevator and they'd scoot up. Hey, could you help me with some fast pass tickets? Could you help me with some fast pass tickets? Could you help me with some fast pass tickets? Could you help me with some fast pass tickets? Could you help me with some fast pass tickets? Could you help me? Could you help me? Could you help me? This guy was so tired of me, it wasn't even funny. He knew my name. It started with Mr. Schumann, but eventually got to Bob. But you know what I got? I got Fast Pass tickets. This guy was so glad to get rid of me. And listen, when I've got something in my head that I'm going after, I'm just like not going to stop. Do you have any fast pass tickets? Isn't it seem odd to you that that's how God wants us to run after him? It is to me. I always thought it was like, and it is, there's an aspect of this. Lord. He's saying, no, I want that. I want your reverence. I want your honor. I want you to revere me. But I don't want you away. I want you banging the doors down to get to me. I want you to run. I want you to seek. I want you to ask. I want you to seek. And I want you to knock. We are to passionately persevere in prayer. See, Jesus exhorts us to pray with purpose and conviction, with perseverance. And that passion needs to impact our physical and spiritual lives as we pray. We need to be praying with a kingdom perspective. See, we naturally persevere in our prayers when it comes to serious concerns. And we should be that way. When someone close to us is sick, when our children become ill, we pray without ceasing, don't we? Someone's ill. Someone's in trouble. I tell you, if I bring a prayer request of a serious nature to this congregation, here's what I know. You will pray. And I love that about you. I love the fact that you see circumstances and situations and you will do everything humanly possible within your will to rectify and to meet that need, but whatever you cannot do, you will be on your knees asking God to do it. That is awesome. We need to do that. When we're in financial trouble, or we're hoping for a promotion, or we have a frightening or dangerous task ahead of us, we find it pretty easy to pray, don't we? We persevere in our prayers but the question is, do we persevere in our prayers when it comes to our spiritual growth and for the spiritual growth of others? Do we ask, seek, and knock for a pure mind? Do we ask, seek, and knock for God to change our hearts, to love the lost, to care for those in need, to make us grateful people? You know what? I pray really hard for needs. I got to tell you. But do I pray with that kind of perseverance for God to transform my life? We did that when we came to Christ, didn't we? Most of us who have come to Christ were confronted with our sin and recognized God's holiness and the separation that existed. And so we passionately and persistently go before God and we say, Lord, save us, redeem us, and rescue us. And too often, we don't continue with that passion. We are to keep on passionately asking that Jesus will make us more like himself. We're to seek and keep on seeking. We're to knock and we're to keep on knocking. And you know what? It's hard to do. I got to tell you, in my own life this week, it was just yesterday. Don't you hate being convicted right before you have to say something to a whole audience? Ugh, it's the most horrible thing. But I'm sitting around asking God to give me direction and insight and thought on all this. And I go, Lord, we as a body, we need to be seeking you and pursuing you relentlessly with our whole hearts. We need to ask. We need to seek. We need to knock. We need to be pounding the door down. And God simply whispers to my heart, but you haven't. You haven't. See, on my iPad here, which is dark. I have a prayer sheet that I go through every single day. And most of your names are in it. And I ask God to work radically in your lives. And I ask God to radically change who I am so I'll be like him. And I ask him to do a work in my life because I can't do that. Only he can. Now I sound really committed and really there until I don't get it done. You know, and my goal at the sabbatical was to make sure that I went through this process 6 days a week. And I do okay. But this week it was 3. You know what I realized? I wasn't asking. I wasn't seeking. I certainly wasn't knocking. And I wonder why my life doesn't change. We need to be knocking and asking God to radically work in our hearts. See, God uses persistent prayer to change us and to prepare us for his kingdom work. Prayer prepares us for the blessing that God desires for us now and in the future. Are you knocking with this kind of passion? My daughter, when she was 14, came back. Actually, it was 16 because it was a senior class trip. She came back from her senior class trip from Greece. She came back and she started vomiting and she started to get a fever. And she started vomiting, and her fever wouldn't break. And so we took her to the hospital, and they said, oh, she'll be fine, they'll be fine. And 20 minutes later, she was in ICU. She had a 105-degree fever that wouldn't break, that they couldn't figure out. She was pretty much not speaking or communicating because she was so overwhelmed with whatever was on her world. I asked, if she's going to be fine, why is she in ICU? Well, and you could tell, we just don't know what's happening. Guess what I was doing? Right? I should be doing that, right? I should be doing that about the things and needs that come into our lives physically. But God is saying in this passage that you should be doing that. We should have that same passion to be and know and be transformed by him. Do you want him that much? Do you desire him to work in your life that much? Jesus is calling us to pray. He's calling us to pray with perseverance, but he's also calling us to pray with confidence. Tony, would you finish that passage again for us?
Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?
So we saw from what we looked at earlier that Jesus assures us that God will respond to our prayer. Ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. The only condition for spiritual blessing in our lives is perseverance. So you and I need to stay at it. We need to continue pursuing him. The challenge is knowing that we're not always going to get instantaneous transformation. It may require time. And that's a problem for us. We pray, we plead, we knock. Lord, please do something. Change us. Make me like yourself. Lord, fix the scenario. Fix our hearts. And we're waiting for it now. And God says, you know what? It's going to be a process. It's going to be a process. It's going to be a process. And so we need to be ready. That's the whole idea of persevering. Allowing God to work through us over time. If we relentlessly ask for spiritual growth and understanding and intimacy with God, we will receive it. Jesus will respond to our prayer. This passage reminds us that God is also a good, good Father to us. A Father to those who have put their faith in him. What's interesting about this passage, which is interesting, it says, if a son asks for bread, will you give him a stone? The idea was this. Stones were small and round-like and could easily, not easily, but could be mistaken for a loaf of bread by view. And so the idea is, would a father take something and deceive his kid? Instead of giving him bread, give him a stone? Or instead of a fish, a snake? No. That would be disastrous. No earthly father would deceive their child like that. And we, as earthly fathers, are evil. Nice, thanks, Jesus. We're evil. That's you and me. But it's true, isn't it? We're sinful. Compared to a holy, righteous God, we're evil. He says, if you who are evil know how to do good things, how much more does our holy, loving God desire to bless us and change us with spiritual blessing? Our Heavenly Father is infinitely good and kind. And when we come to him as his kids, he hears and he responds. When we come as his children, we come to a father who is deeply in love with us. Because he is good and loving and wise, we can rest in him. We can rest that he will wisely respond to our prayer. So when we persistently pray, we can know that he will respond as our good father. He is the one who will lead us and care for us like we couldn't even imagine in our own. You know what? I'm really glad that my father, as evil as he was pretty good in a lot of ways. I'm really glad that my dad did not fulfill my request to buy the very first house I wanted to buy, which was a money pit. We went into that house, and I remember looking, Dad, help me buy this house. And it was a wreck. I remember looking at the electrical wires, and they were all kind of just randomly thrown all over the place, exposed. And I remember looking outside, look, Dad, there's a pool. And he said, son, there's a crack in the bottom of the pool. The water will not stay in it. But it'll be great. No. Why would he not do that? Because he's good. I'm glad my dad didn't give me everything I wanted. But he did give me everything I needed. I'm really glad when I approached my dad to help me ride a bike. And man, you should have seen me. Dad, can you help me ride a bike today? Dad, can you help me ride a bike today? Dad, can you help me ride a bike today? And you know what? I don't know that my dad was psyched up about riding, about pushing pedal, you know, holding it. And you remember how you, parents, do you remember teaching your kids how to ride a bike? It's no fun. You know, you're holding, come on, come on. And my kids are uncoordinated. It was rough. Come on, come on, you got it, you got it. Boink, ugh, you know? But I remember every Saturday, Dad, can you help me ride a bike? Can you help me ride a bike? And unlike me, who dreaded the thought, my dad thought this was great. Because he loved seeing me blessed. I remember asking him how to drive. Because I had not sat in a driver's seat of a car till I got my permit. And so, boy, was that fun. Hey, Dad, how do I turn it? How do I get in the drive? Boom, you know, I mean, I didn't even know that kind of stuff. And he laughed. And he was afraid. But he loved doing it. He loved blessing my life. You know what's great about our Heavenly Father? You and I sit and we ask and we seek and we knock. And you and I think that God is this stingy guy in heaven that doesn't want to give us stuff. But you're wrong. You have a good, good Father that wants to bless your life, who wants to treasure you and see your best. And he's not going to give you everything all the time. But when you seek him out to change your heart, to follow him, he will respond. He's calling us to seek him out. Really, truthfully, in the same exact way that he came after us. You know what the reality is? We're going to celebrate the fact that God came for us and rescued us. And the Son so dearly loved the Father and loved us that he came and ran after us with reckless abandon, willing to go to the cross and to pay the price for our sin and to go through the wrath of God so that we could be with him. Now that is knocking. I want them. And so God says, come after me as I have come after you. He wants us to pursue him as he has pursued us. So may we persevere in prayer. May we approach God with a persistent attitude to ask, seek, and knock. May we have a kingdom perspective, an urgency for God to impact our spiritual lives. But may we also be confident. Be confident that he will respond to us. And that he will respond to us not just as a distant God, but as a good Father. The Lord's Prayer tells us what we should pray about. Now Jesus tells us how we are to do it. And again, I cannot say enough how beyond normal this sounds to me. He wants you to storm the doors down. He wants you to ask. He wants you to seek. And he wants you to knock, knowing that you have a good Father that hears you and desires to respond to you in prayer. We are his kids. May we approach him like we know it. Let's pray. Father, we've talked a lot in the Sermon on the Mount about what we're to pray about, how we're to hallow thy name, how we're to pursue your kingdom and your will. We've also talked a lot about how we're to ask for that daily bread, for that forgiveness of sins, and that leading not into temptation. Father, those things you have called us to pray about, Lord, may we go after them with reckless abandon. May we ask, may we seek, and may we knock. Lord, help us to be passionate prayers. persevering prayers. Lord, I do ask that we would continue as a body of believers to earnestly pray for others and for needs. But Lord, I ask that we would take that same passion and ask for you to relentlessly work in our lives and to change us so that we might be close to you and that we might be used by you for incredible things. Help us to be people who pray. And thanks for being here with us today. In Jesus' name, amen.